Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in. Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you live from Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tony, I've already determined that my question of the day is so much better than yesterday's question, where truly we came down to the final minute or so before we went on the air. We're like, I got nothing.
Oh, yeah, we got to put a question up.
Oh, yeah, let's throw something up there. And that's exactly what we did yesterday. And today, much heated debate will ensue. We'll get to that coming up. But Jags get another one under contract. Rashad Green, the latest, leaving two unsigned rookie draft picks, TJ Yeldon and AJ Cann, in the fold. Now, about $2.5 million for Rashad Green on his rookie deal. Not bad work for a fifth-round pick, I would think.
And no.
It's interesting what his role is going to be, you know, because I think a lot of people are excited about him coming in. But I think Allen Hurns might be kind of the, you know, almost the overlooked guy in this whole thing because he is the leading returning receiver. He stayed healthy for most of the year, scored, six touchdowns last year. We expect Robinson and Lee to be the guys on the outside, but I think Hearn's going to get plenty of playing time. I think Rashad Green's going to have to scrap to get his, because I think there's going to be a lot of two tight end sets this year.
Yeah, I think they're going to run a ton of two tight end, especially with no fullback in this offense right now, so you would think that that would be the direction that they'd want to go. And honestly, we talked about it when Mercedes Lewis was staying, but the idea of having Julius Thomas and Mercedes Lewis on the field together, I love that. You know, I love the idea of that. And yeah, Rashad Green... Look, there's, again, we talked about it during the rookie minicamp. There's a lot of places he could go where nobody knows who he is. He's just kind of an anonymous fifth-round pick that's coming in trying to earn a spot. In Jacksonville, because of where he played his college football, he's not going to have that. There's going to be a lot of fans that are clamoring to get Rashad Green onto the field as early as possible. And I think that Allen Hurns did enough last year that should be his job right now, and Rashad Green has to earn his spot on the field for this Jaguars offense going into the 2015 season. And I think that he understands that, has to understand that going in. And Allen Hurns, as an undrafted guy, has to understand they drafted a guy that's playing the same position I do in this offense, so I got to step it up too if I want to keep my playing time on the field. He was the most consistent receiver they had last year because he was the only one who stayed healthy for the entire season was Allen Hurns.
I think the thing for Hurns, though, is he can play inside and out. Yep. I don't think he's going to be limited just to playing in the slot this year. I think Marquise Lee can play inside and out as well. I know they want to keep him primarily on the outside, but his skill set's going to allow him to move around the formation. I know you saw D-Rock's article, Mike DiRocco, talking with Marquise and Jerry Sullivan about the rookie year that was for Marquise Lee last year. And Tony, in some ways, he's a little bit of a forgotten guy because so many people, I think, are excited about Allen Robinson. Nothing wrong with that. He is the guy who came in, made the quicker transition, certainly in practice, in games, leading receiver for the Jags, really would have been the leading receiver for the Jags had he not gotten hurt.
Certainly.
And Marquise Lee has struggled, as the article entailed. They put a lot on him early. Struggled to pick up the offense, led to a lack of confidence. Where are you going to get the confidence from? You're going to get the confidence from having some success. You're not going to have that success unless you're comfortable knowing what you're doing out there. So it's a bit of a, you know, a catch-22 situation for him. And really, I don't want to say caught fire, but started to come on a little bit the last 6 weeks of the season and gave you a glimpse of why not only were the Jags high on him, but a lot of people thought he'd go in the first round last year. Keep in mind, they never thought he was going to be there for them. And it was Allen Robinson who they targeted with that first pick of the second round. They only had the one until they traded back up to get Robinson when he continued to fall. But Marquise Lee was just too good a value for them to pass up. This guy has been, as you said, he was Amari Cooper a couple of years ago.
He was.
In terms of his output at USC, that tailed off a little bit, and he didn't have that immediate impact. So I think people are tending to maybe overlook the kind of impact he could have on this football team this year.
Marquise Lee was the guy in this offense, especially for that last month of the season. You felt like he was about to break one. Like, virtually every time he caught the ball, it felt like there was that quickness, that speed that Marquise Lee has. You felt like there was something there with Marquise Lee. And, you know, you spoke to it talking about Allen Hurns can play inside or outside. Marquise Lee can play inside or outside, but they want to keep him on the outside. And I think it speaks directly to what you saw in that article, too. where they felt like they threw too much on him. And that's Jerry Sullivan, the wide receivers coach, being quoted as saying, look, we probably gave him too much last year. He was a little bit lost in what we were asking him to do. And that goes to that. He can do a lot of things for you, and I think they were trying to figure out exactly how to use him best. And in trying to figure out how to use him best, got him confused, where until the last 6 weeks of the season, he didn't look like he knew where he was supposed to be most of the time that he was out there on the football field. And finally, in the last month, month and a half, he looked a lot more comfortable. And when he got more comfortable, he caught 24 passes over the course of the last month and a half of the season. That's pretty good. You know, if you're catching 4 or 5 balls a week, that's pretty good. You expect a little bit more than that going into his second year.
Right, but as a rookie, that puts you on average in the mid-60s.
Sure, and for a guy who looked lost before that to have those kind of numbers in the last month and a half of the season, that's fine. And for Marquise Lee, you hope that he's going to figure it out going into year two.
I think the tight end position is going to be a strength as we focused on that a little bit. But
yeah.
I think each of these receivers that are coming back, these three young guys, have something different they bring to the table. You know, Allen Robinson, to me, gives you that big target. While he has the athleticism to get down the field, he gives you that confidence that he's going to come down with those 50-50 balls. He was a great target on third down last year. I think he's more of the guy you're going to look for in the clutch situation. I think Allen Hurns, we saw a lot of double moves to get him open deep. It's not that he is a 4-2-5 guy, but he had a kind of a knack for getting open down the field last year. I think the thing with Marquise Lee is that you saw a glimpse of here and there when he's got the ball in his hands. That's when I think he's really special. You know, they've got to design ways, and I think they were trying to do that early on. They almost didn't run plays. They put him out there and they said, okay, just stand right there, turn towards the quarterback. We're going to throw you some wide receiver screens. Let's get you involved. Let's get you feeling like you're contributing to this football team and let your instincts take over. If they can get him in positions this year to kind of let him play instinctive football, we may have something here.
Yeah. Gosh, I want to see him in space. And the idea of having hopefully a healthy Allen Robinson, having whoever they're going to have playing in the slot, and Julius Thomas to take some kind of coverage in the middle of the field away to potentially give Marquise Lee some kind of space to work in. You're right, because when he did get the ball in his hands in any kind of space last year, there was this anticipation when Marquise Lee got it, because you saw him do it in college and you would see it every now and just, he never got that big, he never broke off that big play in the regular season. He did it in the preseason once or twice, but never in the regular season. But you always felt like after he caught the ball that he was close to it, right? And he's got kind of that attitude and swagger. We talked about it late in the year last year where he's the guy who catches the ball on the sideline, kind of dances around a guy, then steps out of bounds and then talks to you. Like, that's who Marquise Lee is, that attitude, that swagger that he has on the football field. They don't have a ton of guys who have that on the offensive side of the ball, but they got Marquise Lee who does. And it feels like any kind of success he has in a game grows his confidence and grows that smack talk. He's the type of guy that, honestly, if you played against him and he was having any kind of success, you'd hate. But you love having on your team one or two of those guys who just drive an opponent crazy.
He's a guy that, as we said, just don't overlook him as you're excited about Allen Robinson's development in year two. If you expect Blake Bortles or desire Blake Bortles to be the guy that they draft him to be, and who doesn't desire that, Marquise Lee is going to be a big part of the equation. And speaking of Blake, we'll take a look a little bit later on. Could he be in line a few years down the road for that big second contract?
Yes.
That's the goal, right? You want this guy to earn a humongous second contract. You like the problem that Seattle has from the standpoint of, hey, we know this guy is championship caliber. This guy has led us to a Super Bowl, led us to a couple of them. One of them could have easily won two. The question is, do we pay him $20 million? Do we pay him $18 million? Do we pay him $22 million? As long as the conversation is in that ballpark.
Let's hope, yeah.
Right? That he's worthy of something like that. Ryan Tannehill got his second deal yesterday and took it a little bit early to maybe get a little bit insurance. I think it was a smart play by Ryan Tannehill. We'll compare how Tannehill did coming out of Texas A&M. Keep it in mind, he was a converted wide receiver, played a lot of wide receiver at least at Texas A&M, did play quarterback as well. It wasn't like he didn't play any quarterback at Texas A&M.
No, and the athleticism between those two guys is pretty comparable.
Pretty similar.
Yeah.
Pretty similar. So we'll take a look at what he did to burst onto the scene and the progression that he's taken. He's only been in the league 3 years to earn himself this kind of a contract now. And right now, you know, the big debate in Washington was, do they even give RG3 the fifth-year option? They ultimately picked it up. But Tannehill's kind of gone right past him, right? I mean, it's Luck and it's Tannehill and it's Wilson, or really it's Luck and Wilson and Tannehill out of that draft in that order. But certainly RG3's looking up at all those guys right now in terms of performance. So we'll get into that a little bit later on today as well. Amanda Borges is going to join us in studio. In fact, she's already joined us in studio. Mm-hmm. She's going to join us on the radio program coming up here in just a few minutes. And with that in mind, we kind of tailored the question of the day around her visit with us first ever officially on Jaguars Today. And we said, other than Jaguars Today, which is, of course, the only source you need for all your Jaguar information, I say proudly. But we threw that out there because we didn't want to be embarrassed by not receiving any votes. So we took ourselves out of the voting. Besides Jaguars Today, what is your most indispensable source of Jaguar news? We hope one day it will be Amanda Borges. And maybe it is already. Who knows? Maybe she's got some cult-like following that I'm not aware of over the last couple weeks here in Jacksonville. But share your thoughts on that. There's been, I want to say heated debate, just a lot of enthusiastic response to the question already. So weigh in on that. Somebody voted for Alfie. They said even though Alfie blocked him. So that's pretty good stuff right there.
Yeah.
They don't even care about the personal slight. if you're that indispensable as a source of information, you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. Of course, you can post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. And as always, pick up the phone and call 641-1010 or use that as well to text us on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. 641-1010 is the number. So we'll get into some of those things today. Welcome your calls, as always, on the Jags and the NFL at large. The latest on Deflategate. Yeah, there is a latest on Deflategate. I guess there will be pretty much every day.
The stuff Adam Schefter's tweeting right now is just, it's
oh, it's great.
Give it to me. What do you got? It's that good.
His last tweet, Goodell Kraft attended Sean McManus's 60th birthday Saturday in New York City. They were spotted, quote, on a couch talking by themselves for quite a long time. That was preceded by Roger Goodell.
Were they canoodling?
I don't know. Roger Goodell and Patriots owner Robert Kraft have already met, spoken, even hugged, per an industry source who witnessed it. So the bromance is alive between Goodell and Kraft, apparently.
They hugged it out,
yeah.
In other words. There's some back-channel deal going on. I think that's what people are concerned with right now. The NFL apparently leaked out the fact that they requested that the Patriots suspend the two fall guys. I mean, former ball boy locker room attendants.
The deflator.
The deflator, the weight loss guy, and the other fellow up there in Foxborough, but suspended without pay. And the Patriots, Robert Kraft was asked about it by Peter King, and he said there's a bunch of reasons, I'm not going to go into them, why we decided to suspend those guys. And then the story comes out yesterday afternoon. Most people feel the NFL leaked it as kind of a kiss and make up effort towards New England to say that we requested this of them. That's why they're doing it, because it did seem to run counter to Robert Kraft's idea that nothing ever has gone wrong in New England, certainly nothing against the rules. So we'll get into that a little bit later on, and mercifully, just a very little. Hey, by the way, if you have questions for Amanda Borges, she's new in town, you're certainly welcome to call in and ask those. 641-1010 is the number. She joins us next, 1010XL's newest Jaguar reporter and a member of the Helmets and Heels crew, Tony.
Yeah.
Which is, we know, beyond Jaguars Today, even probably everyone's favorite show on 1010XL, I've got to believe. So she joins us next in studio. Your calls, tweets, texts, and Facebook posts all welcome here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank Field, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today live at Everbank. Tony, I got to ask you, are you caught up on your television? I mean, Game of Thrones, are you caught up?
No.
Not even close?
No, I'm two and a half seasons behind.
What are you into right now? Two and a half seasons behind?
I read the books. I don't watch the show.
That's different. I hear it's different.
Yeah.
I don't read the books, but I hear it's different.
I'm not watching anything on TV right now.
Really?
I'm watching Braves baseball.
Did you go see Mad Max again yesterday?
Not yesterday.
Will you see it again this week?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. Time number four, it's coming.
All right. That's just fine. That's just fine.
It's my favorite movie of the year. It's better than The Avengers.
It's May.
Better than The Avengers.
That's fine. You can like, I'm not going to be angry with you. I haven't seen it. It might be better than The Avengers. I don't know. I doubt it. But Everyone's entitled to their own wrong opinion. All right. Let's say hello to Amanda Borges. Good morning, Amanda Borges. How are you?
I'm fantastic. What's going on?
Our brand new 1010XL Jaguar reporter. I say brand new. You've been around now for how many weeks would
this
it be?
This is my third, so it's still brand new.
Pretty brand
Super
new.
Super brand new.
All right.
Yeah.
You are a regular on the Frank Frangie show.
Yep.
But nobody listens to that show. So, you know, now.
Hey, now.
I'm just kidding. They will now. they have over the last 2 weeks. I'm just kidding. And you are also a member of the Helmets and Heels crew. Everybody listens to that show.
Yeah.
All right. First question. I think this is the most important question I'll ask today. Who's your favorite co-host on Helmets and Heels?
Who's my favorite co-host? Oh, no.
That's just a bad question
to
ask.
That's a terrible question.
Tony's my favorite co-host on Jaguars Today.
Boom.
Yeah.
So
okay.
There you have it.
That's because I'm here.
You seem indecisive on this one. I'm just kidding. I'm going to get Amanda killed by two of the three.
And we have the show tonight. Members. What are you trying to do to me?
I know. You do have the show tonight. Where are you tonight?
We are at Dave and Buster's tonight, live from 7 to 9. We do have a special rookie joining us tonight. AJ Can will be there. We're excited. We also have a contest running. I'm kind of nervous about this. Basketball's not exactly my strong suit. And apparently we're giving away tickets to whoever can beat me at Papa Shot.
So do you have a lot of tickets ready for this? Or?
I'm hoping we don't.
Or is this just like whoever beats you most decisively or something like that?
I think it's up to me. So I can, if someone beats me really, really badly, then I'll be like, no tickets for you. But
oh.
If someone's nice and lets me, get a couple shots in. I'm just kidding. It'll be fair. It'll be totally fair. But we do have our Mata tickets and Sons tickets to give away. And that'll be after the show, so you do have to stick around. But AJ will be on at the beginning of the show. And we are going to chat with him about things that you might not know about him. So it might not really be football related.
That's okay.
I know. It's the best part.
It's all football related because he does play for the Jaguars.
It's kind of what Helmets and Heels does. They get the other stuff. You know, we have Mom. We talk a lot about football. You ladies, y'all get the opportunity to talk about their lives a little bit more.
Yep.
Yeah. We have the opportunity. We just choose to leave that to the experts.
Yeah, yeah. You're more comfortable at left or right guard, AJ. That's our kind of conversation.
All right. You're a Florida State grad.
I am indeed.
Right? So, which is brings a little good balance to the station. I'm not a Florida State grad. I'm a Florida State fan, but way too much orange and blue on this network as far as I'm concerned. But as far as that goes, you were the managing editor of Sports Talk Florida.
Yep.
But when we stole you away from their clutches, what did that entail for you with Sports Talk Florida?
I managed sportstalkflorida.com, the website. So we had a bunch of writers. I was the managing editor of that, kept up with breaking news. I worked for the Bucks last season. I was in stadium host for the Buccaneers this past season. That was fun, but I have traded in my pewter and red for teal and blue, so no need to worry about that.
Okay.
Teal and blue. Sorry, I meant teal and black.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. My colors are a little off, as you can tell.
They're going to crush you. It's okay. We're used to it. We get crushed on Twitter on a daily basis. So
it's fine. Bring it on.
So, I mean, the Bucks were absolutely miserable.
They were
last
indeed.
Year. What was that experience like being because you have to when you're in the stadium like that, I mean, it has to be a level of excitement that you bring, right, and all that. Was it difficult to do?
Luckily, I was with the fans. So I was doing contests, giving away things from tickets to a truck.
So they're always happy then.
Yeah, everyone was excited. The games were fun despite the losing record. Towards the end of the season, it did get a little difficult just because people were not happy. But then towards the last game, people were like, yeah, let's lose so we get that number one pick. And it worked. So
let me ask you this. And you can't speak for everybody down there, obviously, but what was the impression of the direction that this franchise is going? It's not something I'm sure you dwelt on a lot when you were working for the Buccaneers, but when the conversation or when the topic came up, what was the impression, you know, in different parts of the state, I guess, for the Jacksonville Jaguar organization?
Are you asking what was the impression of the Bucks last season?
Okay. No. When you're down in Tampa,
yep.
Right, and you know, like up here, the Bucks get brought up in conversation because it's an NFL town and blah blah blah, and everyone has their opinion about, you know, or not doesn't think too much about it. And I'm sure that's the case with a lot of Buccaneer fans. But was there, you know, when the topic of the Jaguars came up, if it ever did? I guess I'm trying to get an outside the city perspective from in the state of, you know, Do they think it's a bumbling house of idiots because they've won 9 games in the last 3 years? Do they think they're a young team on the rise? Do they kind of not know what to make of them? I guess that is what I'm asking.
I wouldn't say that they didn't know what to make of them. It's hard because when you're a Bucks fan, you can't, especially last season, you don't really have the right to sit back and judge another NFL team that is doing either the same as you or even better than you. A lot of Bucks fans had so much expectation last season because Lovie Smith came in, it was a new year, and they were completely let down. So maybe some Bucks fans were like, hey, what's up north a little bit? Can I be a Jags fan now? Right. Are they doing better? But I think you always keep your eye on other teams, especially in the state, just to see what's going on. But there definitely weren't any negative feelings towards the Jags, I can tell you that.
What has been your impression? I mean, you've only been here for a couple of weeks, but what's been your impression of dealing with the team, the administration, you know, players, the whole, you know, just settling into the job?
It's funny because when I first got up here, everyone ranted and raved, oh my gosh, Coach Bradley, he's awesome. All the players are awesome. PR, everyone's great. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome. Can't wait to meet him. Met him. Exceeded my expectations. Gus, I met with Gus. He brought me into his office. We sat. We chatted. I was blown away. Because, you know, he didn't need to do that. He didn't need to take 15, 20 minutes out of his day to just sit and talk with me. Little old me. So he brought me in, we chatted. It was fun, and rookie minicamp was obviously very full of lots of stories. Not all of them were positive, but everyone's been awesome. The rookies are excited. When talking with the rookies, you can tell that they just wanted to be here. Not, oh, I just wanted to play football. The Jags got me. This is cool. I'm fine with it. I wanted to be in Jacksonville. I wanted to play for the Jaguars. And Dante Fowler Jr. has been, I think, one of the most outspoken rookies on that, being like, this is where I wanted to be from day one. Even though I am injured, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to keep working. And I think it starts with Gus and then it trickles down. So Gus exemplifies just this positive charisma, and it kind of trickles down to the players, and they catch on too. And it's so true. When you're around it, you see it.
I think you're right. I think it actually starts with Shad Khan. You know,
yeah.
I mean, because he's a unique guy. Just obviously he looks unique with the long hair and the mustache and all that, but he's got a little bit of that rock star gangsta.
Yeah. Kinda. If you thought like Gus and Dave are cool,
right.
Gus is an amazing guy. Dave has personality, like he's just the kind of that snarky dude, you know. But Shad Khan, I know you probably haven't had the chance
not met him yet.
Just wait. I mean, when we get to training camp and he shows up for the first time, watch the way the fans react. Watch the way he reacts to the fans. He's unbelievable.
Yep.
As an owner, I've never seen anything like it.
But in the end, all these things we've been talking about now for
gotta
2 years,
win,
right? You gotta win football games, and that's the thing. This is a big year, I think, for them. I don't look. Shad had said you can't put a win total on it. There's not a specific total. It's more about how they play and are they continuing to get better. But after a while, all that, hey, we're getting better, we're seeing progress, has to result in wins. Tony and I sit here every day, and I think we say a silent little prayer that the wins will
absolutely
come, because it's so easy to work in this environment. Right?
Yeah.
You're not gonna. And look, I've only worked with one NFL team this closely, so it's. But I've just by reputation, you talk to people around the league, there's nothing like the openness that they've got here, both for the media, for the fans, for, you know, the season ticket holders, whatever the case may be. But it's got to be paired up with some results right now. And, you know, good feeling of positivity. You get that, I would assume. I know you've spent more time with the rookies than anything else. I assume those guys are positive in talking to you. They're just happy to, you know, start to get on the next step to fulfilling their life's goal.
Yeah, they're just happy to be here. And I really enjoy getting to know the rookies. I obviously knew Rashad Green since I went to Florida State. But getting to know the rookies is fun, and it's important to me, because especially right now, because I'm new to town and they are too.
Right.
And so it's fun to kind of see how they are getting to know the town and getting acclimated to everything. Obviously, their process is way different than mine. They're playing for an NFL team, but it's fun to get to know them. And that's why I like having them on Helmets and Heels too, because I want the fans to get to know them as a person, not just, hey, they're number 32 and they run fast. You know, like, I want everyone to know, hey, AJ Cann's really awesome. He loves Reese's and he hates spiders. You know, just like little quirky things.
Everybody loves Reese's, don't they?
I know, don't they?
Seriously.
AJ has this incredible love for Reese's, and I actually interviewed him during Rookie Minicamp, and that's what we talked about. We might get into that a little bit tonight, and we may or may not have some Reese's for him when he comes.
I'm thinking that's a may. I'm thinking that's may. A yes. I'm thinking that's
now
a
I
yes.
have to go to the store.
Right, yes, you do. at Amanda1010XL on Twitter, by the way, if you're not already following Amanda Borges, the new 1010XL Jaguars reporter. What? How would you characterize your role on the Frank Frangie show?
So yesterday, for those who listened, we had a debate. And this was a serious debate because Frank, so my boyfriend was in town this weekend. He still lives in Tampa. Frank met him this weekend and invited him to golf. And I'm sitting right there, and so they're chatting, and I'm like, excuse me, why can't I go play golf? So it started this whole debate, can men and women play golf together? So we were debating, and of course Rick's like, Rick Blue, no way. Men do this to get away from their wives, their girlfriends, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but I like sports.
But you didn't say wife or girlfriend. You just say, can you play with women?
Right.
I'll play with my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is really into golf.
Right.
I played with my mother-in-law, just the two of us.
Okay.
You know, and
that's
she's
awesome.
Like 70 years old or whatever.
What about your wife?
My wife, we've gone around. She'll ride in the cart, you know, but, it's like, I'll play with my wife. If it's like my wife and my son and I, just the three of us, like in the afternoon going out.
Right.
If there's a group, she's not serious about golf, you know, so I wouldn't have her play in the certain kind of foursome.
Right.
But no, I would play with ladies.
No problem with it. No.
Okay.
Yeah, but they have to be, you know, serious. They don't have to be good.
Right.
Just have to be serious about the game, you know.
Yep.
You know, keep up the pace of play and all that stuff. But I play with plenty of women that whip my tail. So, are you good?
I am decent, but I enjoy it, especially when you're on a nice course. It's a beautiful day. I enjoy it. And so we were kind of just joking around yesterday on the show, and I said that Frank brought that up so that we would talk about it, and then eventually I would just get uninvited because I made such a big stink about it. So we'll see if this happens. They made such a big deal as far as it being men only because they use it to be true men, you know, whatever. But I said, hey, why can't the girls play too? We never really came to a conclusion, but I can step aside and let the men have their fun. I'm fine with that.
You know what? Let them have their fun. You can come join us on the Jaguars Today golf outings, and you'll find out what real men are really about. We're not afraid to share our open spaces with the fairer sex. All right. Amanda Borges here with us. She's going to stick around for another 20 minutes or so. If you'd like to get on board, 641-1010 is the way to do it. Both on the phone line and the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, so you can send questions along. The question of the day, by the way, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, asks you, other than Jaguars Today, what is your single most indispensable source of Jaguar information? We've never done this one before, and hopefully Amanda Borges will make your short list sooner rather than later. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Amanda Borges here with you. It's Jaguars Today, live from Everbank Field on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Happy Tuesday to you. Jaguars Today coming to you live from Everbank Field, the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. What's your most indispensable source for Jaguar information other than these 2 hours of the day from 10 to noon, which we were afraid if we didn't put that stipulation in there, we'd get no votes anyway, and therefore the embarrassment is being avoided, at least potentially. Amanda Borges is here with us at Amanda1010XL on Twitter. New Jaguar reporter for 1010XL, a new member of the Frangie Show in the afternoon, and a new star of Helmets and Heels as well.
Star, whoa.
Now, why not? There are four of you. There are
it's
four stars on Helmets and Heels.
That's right.
I think so. I told you already, I'll rank them. I don't mind ranking them, Tony. I'll rank them.
That's because you don't have to go on the show.
But I see these people all the time,
yeah,
too.
That's true.
All right. Donna Murphy's number one on Helmets and Heels because Donna and I worked together the longest. And Donna's awesome. Lauren is awesome, too. We didn't work together as long. So she's number two. That's what it comes down to. You're number three because I've now had like three actual conversations with you
only
in my
three.
Life. And I don't know if I've ever met Blythe face to face in my life. So I got to rank her number four. That's just how I go personally.
Sure. You should have seen Donna last week. In the wake of all this Deflategate stuff, she was just...
She was very passionate.
She was. She was beside herself. I think it's the angriest she's ever been at me, is when I walked in that studio and Lauren asked, so sum up your feelings on Deflategate in one sentence. I was like... Tom Brady's a cheater. And I can almost...
That look Donna gave
right,
you.
Right. Donna was very unhappy with me. And
for
I,
me.
I understand why. She loves her New England Patriots.
She is certainly an unbiased source of New England Patriot information.
She did, though. We have to give her credit. Donna brought a whole report and highlighted things. And, like, she was ready to present her evidence.
Oh, she's
she was
ready. She's a card-carrying member of Uh-oh. Patriots Nation. Hi, Donna!
What? How am I buffed to do? What did
no.
I do?
What are you listening?
Donna.
I just said you're number one.
Yeah, you're number one.
You're bad ears.
Oh, okay. No, the bad ears would belong to somebody else who called me in the studio.
Did Tyler call you in and say I said you were number two?
Yeah.
Tyler's number 12.
False information.
And I've only had like 10 producers. Dude,
I was like,
what
happened?
No, we were though mocking you for your undying devotion, blind loyalty to Tommy. However,
well, you know, so. You have to have blind loyalty sometime.
I guess, like I have for you, but, and I thought I expressed that.
And I have for you, even though you're a Yankee fan, and I still adore you.
That's right. That's right. See, we get along. We're copacetic like
we
that,
do.
Tyler. What is wrong with Tyler?
Sorry Devin, to interrupt your show. Hi, Amanda.
All right.
Hey, Donna.
You guys have a good show tonight. Let's. Shall we dare go to the phone lines? Let's
and
see
it.
What happens. 641-1010. Let's say hello to Amanda Borges with Gary up first today on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Amanda, welcome to the station.
Hey, Gary. Thanks so much.
Hi. Hey, I'd like to ask you, are you a fan of Major League Baseball, too, or the NBA, too, and... what teams are they? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for the question, Gary. So, MLB is probably, I'm going to get pummeled for this, by the way, not my favorite sport.
Why would you get pummeled for that?
Because there are lots of baseball fans.
Yeah, so
I don't hate baseball, but I love football so much that baseball is so incredibly boring to
me. Not going
to
get pummeled in this two-hour time period.
Nope. The person inside of me is very upset with you right now.
I know, and I'm sorry.
Well, the audience
I apologize.
doesn't care. They love you.
Listen, I grew up with baseball. I played softball when I was younger. I think it scarred me because they put me in the outfield, and I just stood there and never did anything. And I got so bored that I quit. So I think it kind of scarred me. Football's number one for me, always has been, always will be. I do like the NBA. I don't really have a particular team. However, I was born and still have family in Northern California, San Francisco. So right now, I'm really loving that the Warriors are fighting.
Right now. You're really loving that the Warriors
sure,
are
and I know you were just in Tampa, so I'm sure the Lightning may be a thing for
yes,
you. Is there
they
the
absolutely
Eastern
are.
Conference
I have been told that I'm not allowed to talk hockey in this town, but I am
oh,
a rebel.
Really? Someone
so
tell
I'll do
Dan
it.
Hicken, please. All right? In fact, the Lightning and the Rangers are going at it.
Yeah,
not
the Lightning
moment,
beat the Rangers last night.
I know
so
they did.
Tied the series 1-1. Very exciting. So I'd probably have to rank football, hockey, then the NBA.
Of course, Jaguars, undying
devotion. Of course,
devotion,
that's
number one. Since birth.
Yep.
And then everything else that comes after doesn't
right.
really matter. The rest of it just makes up the rest of it. Yes, you are a bad listener, Tyler. Thank you for pointing that out to me on my...
I think he said that on purpose to get Donna riled up.
Maybe he did.
It's always fun to see Donna riled up.
See, he did. He did it on purpose.
That's a ridiculous
Tyler
statement.
Tyler's in the pot.
My top four have not changed. There's no shot at Blythe. I just don't know Blythe, you know?
That's fine.
Sure, she's a lovely person and a great reporter and highly entertaining.
She's a nerd like me. I kind of like Blythe.
Yeah.
Blythe she dresses up like Avengers. Gandalf to go see Lord of Rings movies. And
that's a little much.
Yeah. Tony loved our segment. We took Avengers superheroes and compared them to football players.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
We've done shows like that.
We have.
Trust me, we've
they
done
tried
shows
to,
like that.
They tried to spring it on me. They were like, Blythe just in crosstalk one week, she was like, who in the NFL would be the Avengers? I was like, no. I was like, we're not just going to sit there and spring that on me. I need some time to think about this. So they were like, yeah, we're going to do it next week on the show. I was like, all right, I'll have my list.
Well, Brady would have been Captain America, right? That's the only answer for Captain America.
He's never been my Captain America.
But he would. I mean, prior to Deflategate, there's no better answer than Tom Brady. Who do you have Other than Tom Brady for Captain America.
This is Russell Wilson, who has to keep a ragtag group of guys who are fighting inside the building.
A ragtag group of
guys. To keep them together.
A ragtag group of guys.
Yeah.
You think the Seattle roster is ragtag?
I think that there's a lot of infighting in Seattle. A whole lot more than there is in New England.
My vote is J.J. Watt.
For Captain America?
Yeah.
Not the Hulk?
Yeah, I guess that's debatable.
You go either way.
Yeah.
You go either way. He does look like he's on some kind of super soldier serum.
I had him as
that's
my...
That's a nice way of not getting sued for saying he could be juicing. I had him
as...
I'm kidding, J.J.
Juggernaut when we did that villains list, so I didn't have him in the Avengers.
All right. Well, we could have gotten really, really
Who is J.J. dating these days?
I don't know.
Wozniacki. Right?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
At least at the they showed up at the tournament.
Yeah, together. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't. I think this is a
thing. Helmets and heels conversation.
Well, no. We can have this conversation. I don't think much about who J.J. Watt dates, and
it doesn't make you toss and turn at
I can take it or leave it with Wozniacki.
Okay.
I mean, she's all right. She's not a she's attractive enough. I don't know anything about her as J.J. is a guy you're keeping tabs on?
No, it just got brought up in conversation.
Oh, okay.
And I just figured I'd get your opinion on his dating life.
Well, I mean, as far as I know, that's who he's been linked with.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Russell Wilson was linked with Sierra.
Yeah.
Last I heard. Mm-hmm. So.
What a power couple, huh?
I guess. Who's Sierra? I know the name. I've seen the picture.
Man.
I don't know. I'm old.
You got to stick with me to get your popcorn.
I got no chance.
Okay.
All right. Seriously, I got no chance. Nothing. No music in the last 20 years.
Did you watch the Billboard Music Awards?
Of course not.
Okay. I didn't think so.
No.
It's not.
Music Awards.
I flipped over. I saw one award being handed out on that thing. I think I saw Best Country Artist of the Year.
Okay.
Is the only thing that I saw.
I did watch 30 Minutes of the Voice last night. Does that count for anything?
Really?
I like the dude with the long hair, the little guy with the long hair who sang Old Man by Neil Young. He's good. I've seen him all season long. Yeah, well, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I know Old Man because I saw it. I know a little bit of Neil Young, but I saw Dana Carvey stand up where he was talking about old people's music versus young people's, and he did the old man like he went into the whole thing, so it cracks me up.
True, but this kid looks like he's 12, so and he's doing he just seems like he's got some soul.
Was he doing an impersonation?
No, he was doing he was singing old man.
Okay, was he trying to do it in the style of Neil Young?
He was going old man, he was singing it. It was fine. Let's move on.
Okay.
Shall we move on?
Wait, how did that go again?
Hey, well, old man, it wasn't like that because he didn't do it like Neil Young. He did it his own way. Anyway, go watch it. I'm sure it's on YouTube or some other fine modern device out there. Amanda Borges is here with us. All right, Amanda, who are you looking forward to interviewing, and what do you want to know? Like everybody, I want to talk to the quarterback because he's a quarterback, but give me somebody on this team that you think it'd be interesting to have a conversation with, and for what reason? Who are you looking forward to? I know you've met mostly rookies.
I've met mostly rookies. What's interesting to me when you talk to the rookies, I also like asking, hey, what veterans do you want to get to know? Because when you come into a team, you want to find someone to learn under. And I've heard awesome things about Sendarek, so I'd love to chat with him, for multiple reasons, just like I would any player. But he seems interesting. He seems like a good guy.
He is interesting. He was probably their best player last year. And, I think there's, people don't know what to feel at this moment because you've got Sendarek, best player, okay, he's coming off a torn ACL in the last week of the season. He's probably not going to be himself to start the year. Some thought they might draft Leonard Williams and kind of fortify that side or that area of the defensive line. They go Dante Fowler, and obviously now he's not going to be available. I mean, this, as we talked about earlier, they've got to start winning games. They've got to start producing wins. I don't think they're desperate on the defensive line, but, The return, even if Sendarek Marks is able to play early in the season, a big question mark whether at any point this year he's going to be himself. So he's a good one. He's a fun guy to talk to. Most of the guys on this team, I think, are pretty good about that whole thing. I think that's one thing that the organization has done is look for guys that will fit into a quote-unquote culture.
Right.
Whatever that happens to be. Right now it's a culture of positivity, without all the results. So, all right, tonight, Helmets and Heels at Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's.
With AJ Cann.
On Salisbury Road.
Check that out with Amanda and the crew from Helmets and Heels. Donna is my number one ranked Helmets and Heels host, in case that wasn't clear.
Number one. And you know what else? We're also going on the chat this afternoon.
Oh, you are?
We are. So that will be interesting.
So give us the details.
As far as I know, we are going on the chat this afternoon. I don't know if it's live or taped. Maybe I wasn't allowed to say that, but I'm not sure. I think we're just going to kind of...
The whole crew?
Yeah, all four of us.
Cool.
We're going on the chat this afternoon. We'll probably tweet out when it's airing, whether that's this afternoon or tomorrow. I'm not sure how that works, but I'm pretty sure we're kind of just going to get a little personal and talk about our stories and give everyone the lowdown.
All right.
So it should be fun.
As we get ready to bid you adieu, as I know other people are wondering when you're done in here because everyone wants to talk to you. We don't get that treatment around here. I didn't ask you, what would you like Jaguar fans to know about you that maybe if they haven't, you know, listened to you on the Frank Frangie Show or Helmets and Heels yet that they wouldn't know?
I only eat cereal at night.
Really?
Yeah, that's, I don't know why.
Three cereals, what do you got?
Cheerios.
Boring.
Yeah, so boring. something that you need to know about me with food is that I wouldn't say I'm a health freak, but I am very healthy. So when it comes to cereal, I think that's why I eat at night, because it's kind of like a dessert. But then I'm like, Cheerios? That's
yeah, Cheerios,
dessert?
Not exactly. Really? What's next? Rice Chex, let me guess.
Special K.
Rice.
And grape nuts, I'm sure, which are always delicious.
Cocoa Puffs?
For everybody. Cocoa Puffs are good.
Sometimes I splurge, sometimes.
All right, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Amanda Borges, cereal connoisseur. And Twitter.
If you have any
aficionado.
Ideas for new cereal for me, just hit me up.
Hit her up, at Amanda 1010XL. You can listen to her this afternoon and every afternoon on the Frank Frangie Show. Helmets and Heels tonight against Salisbury Road, Dave and Buster's with the entire crew. Look for those ladies on the chat coming up as well. And wherever Jaguar News is happening, that's where you're going to find Amanda Borges. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we appreciate it. We'll do it again soon. Amanda Borges here with us. Fat Tony, I'll come back. This date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL next.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, then. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. It was on this date, Tony, back in 1935, May 19th, that the NFL voted to adopt their annual college draft, which would begin a year later in 1936. First overall pick in that draft was the first Heisman winner, Jay Berwanger. Never played a down in the NFL. They didn't want to pay him what he felt he was worth, so he went off to do whatever it was he did. Four Hall of Famers drafted in this draft. It was nine teams in the league at the time, by the way. So the draft didn't go all that deep. It went nine rounds, 81 picks deep in it, Tony. If I asked you, however, in round four, the Brooklyn Dodgers, yes, the Brooklyn Dodgers, with the 31st overall pick, the fourth pick of round four, selected an end out of the University of Alabama. Who might that end out of the University of Alabama have been that the Brooklyn Dodgers selected in 1936?
I have no idea.
A guy named Paul Bear Bryant got selected in round four. So just some interesting little oddities along the way, looking over some of this stuff. Dan Fortman was a guard drafted out of Colgate by the Chicago Bears. And apparently George Halas liked his name, thought it sounded like a good, solid football name. So they said, let's draft this guy. Went on to become a Hall of Famer. And they also sold him. Halas had to convince him that he could go to medical school and play pro football at the same time. So the guy went on and got a medical degree while he was becoming a Hall of Fame player in the National Football League.
How about that?
Some interesting little tidbits that you wouldn't see probably in today's current climate. Birthdays on this date, May 19th, 1949. Archie Manning, two-time Pro Bowler, turned 66 years old today. The throwing Samoan, Jack Thompson. You remember him with the Bengals and the Bucks in the late 70s, early 80s?
I do not, no.
He was a very unprolific quarterback, except for the nickname, the throwing Samoan.
It's a good nickname.
Yeah, it is a good one. Chris Doering, born in this state, sixth-round draft pick of the Jaguars out of the University of Florida in 1996. London Fletcher turns 40 today, born in 1975. Four Pro Bowls in a 16-year career. And happy birthday to one of the Jaguars tight ends, Mercedes Lewis, turning 31 years young today. The Best Fence Company of Jacksonville presents this date in football history. Their mission, to fabricate and install the highest quality fencing product at a competitive price and give you unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The San Diego Chargers and Oakland Raiders have taken another step to show just how serious they are about a move to Los Angeles, hiring former NFL executive Carmen Policy to come in and oversee their combined efforts to get a stadium to share built in Carson, California. Policy was an NFL Executive of the Year with the 49ers in 1994, part of bringing the NFL back to Cleveland as well. Mark Fabiani, speaking for the San Diego Chargers, had this to say, quote, "We're now moving on from can you build a stadium on this site to how do you ensure the NFL and teams re-enter Los Angeles in the best possible way. We realized that we needed some extra assistance on that." The solicitation charge against Warren Sapp has been dropped by a judge in Phoenix, stemming from his arrest during Super Bowl week, wherein Sapp was found soliciting a prostitute and then having an altercation with the two women after a dispute about money. Sapp has reportedly completed a prostitution solicitation counseling program. That's a mouthful.
Say that again.
To get the solicitation charge dropped, and will still have to complete a diversion program to avoid any jail time for the assault charges. Sapp has already been fired by the NFL Network. And the Miami Dolphins have signed quarterback Ryan Tannehill to a six-year contract extension that could be worth up to $96 million. The last 2 years of the deal are easily voidable for the Fins, so it could essentially be looked at as a four-year deal worth $77 million, which is $19.25 million a year over the next four.
And seeing as how he was already under contract, basically, because they picked up his fifth-year option for the next two seasons, right? He's played 3 years. The new money, the 4 years on the back end, Ryan Tannehill, if he plays them out, will average $19.25 million a season for those years. And it's so funny because some of the editorials on this yesterday were saying, wow, you know, he's basically taking less to get that big guarantee now, because let's say he flops over the next couple of years, he's not going to get that kind of contract. What a great world we live in when you can take less and get
right.
$19.25 million. Of course, Odell Beckham Jr. feels that NFL players are all underpaid based on what they do. And I thought there was a good way to look at it from PFT yesterday, Pro Football Talk, who said, look, they get their 50% of the revenue. It's just that it's split up between a lot more guys, right? Split up between 53 guys as opposed to 25, 26 in baseball and, 15 in the NBA,
right,
for instance. So the average salary is certainly going to be dragged down by that. Guys at the top end, Tannehill doing quite well for himself, Tony. And I don't know what else you do, but when you get a guy who shows steady progression as he's done, I mean, is he the perfect model? Is he the next John Elway? Is the next Peyton Manning? Maybe not. But here's what Ryan Tannehill's done, and we'll compare him to Blake Bortles' first season as well to see if this gives you any hope of where Blake may head in the early portion of his career. Tannehill joined a Miami team that they've basically been mediocre the entire time. He started every game in three seasons. He's gone 7-9, 8-8, 8-8. They were a team that clearly had more talent going in than Blake Bortles had to work with in his first year. But we hope that's going to change.
Yep.
Tannehill's first season, Tony, I think very comparable to Blake Bortles' rookie year. 58.3% completion percentage with 12 touchdowns and 13 interceptions for Tannehill, starting all 16 games. Blake, of course, started 13 games last year, 58.9, so they're within basically a half point of each other. Blake slightly ahead, but, I mean, you know, indistinguishable. 11 touchdowns, so a comparable in that number to Tannehill's 12 over 16 games. And then the interceptions were too many. 17 interceptions for Blake Bortles. His interception percentage was 3.6. Tannehill's was 2.7. So that's an area that Blake certainly needs to improve upon. You know, Tannehill wasn't terrible as a runner, isn't terrible as a runner. Not fantastic either. Blake Bortles ran for 419 yards last year. Tannehill, in his first season, ran for 211. And he's kind of been that steadily progressing guy, 211, 238, 311. He's an athlete, much like Bortles. I think they're comparable in that regard. But overall, Tannehill, rookie season, quarterback rating 76.1. Blake was QBR of 50.4. Rating, fairly similar, 69.5, but the QBR, total QBR for Blake, 21.9.
Yeah.
So that's where they're really separated. I think the interceptions probably kill Blake the most. That and the record, the winning record, but that's a product of a lot of factors that go into it. Here's what Tannehill did, though, coming out of that rookie season, where he went 12-13 TD to interception ratio, threw for 3,294 yards. And that's a thing, too. You know, he had Blake by a little bit, but really, when you consider he started three more games, they were very comparable in that area. Next season, though, in his second year in the league, Ryan Tannehill threw for 24 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. So they both went up, but he doubled his TDs, threw for 3,913 yards. Last year, threw for 4,045 yards with 27 touchdowns and cut the interceptions down to 12. I would take that three-year trajectory right now for Blake Bortles, wouldn't you? I mean, statistically, at least?
Sure. I mean, you're talking about 51-29. That's touchdown to interception in his last two seasons, and it's why he's getting the money he is. The Dolphins have been 8-8 in both of those years as well. Yeah, I think you would take those kind of numbers. I think Tannehill got the money he did because the Dolphins are in a position that they feel like he is progressing year to year, and you don't want to put yourself back in that lottery, essentially, in the draft of trying to find your next quarterback if you feel like you may have the guy now. And they got a contract that we didn't go over all the details of the contract they signed, but it is a little bit similar to what Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers had, where basically it's a year-to-year thing between these two sides, where the Dolphins can get away from this contract in 2 or 3 years if they decide that Ryan Tannehill isn't the guy that they were hoping that he was going to become. They can get away from it and not kill themselves with the contract they just signed Tannehill to. And I think you're seeing a lot of teams kind of taking those kind of steps with their quarterback right now, especially the younger guys in the league that you feel like are ascending, but you want to keep that pressure on them to keep stepping up for your team. So you're seeing contracts like Kaepernick and Tannehill. I think the Jags, you'd probably take 51-29. Touchdown to interception over the course of the next 2 years.
Oh, absolutely.
I would take it. I want Blake Bortles to be the type of guy that at some point we're talking about touchdowns in the mid-30s. Like, I want that type of guy in this offense at some point. They've never had it in Jacksonville. You draft a guy at number 3, I think he has the potential to be that type of player where it's not he's getting a touchdown, touchdown and a half every week. He's throwing for 2 touchdowns every week. And if that means that he's going to throw, you know, 10 to 15 interceptions, that's okay with me,
10
too.
To 15 would be like, phenomenal with those numbers.
If he's going to be throwing for 35 touchdowns. Want him to be.
I'd like him to be there as well, but do you think that that's likely or reasonable, at least in the short term when they're talking
not
about
this year?
Even beyond that, I mean, it seems like Gus Bradley is of the philosophy, and I realize he's not the offensive coordinator, but he gets to dictate a lot of what this team does, certainly, that they want to run the football, right? I mean, this wants to be a run-first team. You're adding beef to the offensive line. That doesn't mean they can't help in pass protection as well, but it just seems like they want to move towards that Seattle model. And as good as Russell Wilson's been, a lot of people wonder if he'll ever be that 35-touchdown pass guy because of the way that they, run their system up there. Play great defense, run the football, make plays with your arm and your feet. I think there's a lot of similarities, not results yet, but similarities in the way they'd like to see Blake play compared to the way Russell Wilson's played in his first 3 years in the league. I just don't know if they're going to open it up enough for him anytime soon for that to be a realistic goal or a realistic target number.
I guess what I'm saying, I think Blake Bortles needs to be better than Ryan Tannehill. I think is what I'm saying. I think Blake Bortles needs to be better than Ryan Tannehill, who I think is a fine player in this league right now. He's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback in the league. He's probably right around 15 or 16. I think Blake needs to be a top-10 guy. And I get Tannehill may be on a pace where he's going to be that type of quarterback in this league. I think we're seeing about what Tannehill's going to be. I think this is who he is. And those numbers are going to be about what they are for a guy like Ryan Tannehill.
Boy, I'd take a lot of years at 27-12, man.
No, I get that. I get that. I want and expect Blake Bortles to be a better quarterback in the National Football League than Ryan Tannehill.
How many QBs do you think threw mid-30s in touchdowns or more?
Not a ton last year. I know 40 led the league, and that was Breeze.
39 led the league.
Yeah, and that was Breeze and Andrew Luck. Peyton Manning, I think, had 38.
I'm looking at if these numbers are correct, and they may not be. But I thought I was looking at the correct numbers. Although it says, it's weird, it has 15 games for a lot of these quarterbacks, but I guess some of these guys missed some games. I'm seeing 39 for Peyton Manning, but that might not be accurate. I'm going by CBS's stats. But what do you got? You got something?
No, I'm trying to look at the list, too. Andrew Luck with 40.
Okay.
I got Peyton Manning with 39. Aaron Rodgers with 38, Tony Romo with 34, Brady with 33, Breeze also with 33.
Hey, you're talking about the cream of the crop.
Yeah, that's what I want.
For the most part. Well, that's great. I want 50. I mean,
not saying 50. I'm saying that I expect at some point that Blake Bortles is going to be a top 10 quarterback in this league. That is my expectation. At some point that Blake Bortles is going to be a top 10 quarterback in this league and pushing the top 5, which is about to turn over drastically at some point here in the next 3 or 4 years when Manning and Brady and Breeze can't do it anymore. There are a lot of things that should be opening up among those guys. Romo isn't young. I mean, that's not a young guy. He's a really productive player.
Granted, I get you that the top is going to turn over. I don't question that. I just wonder, again, where he's starting, what they're putting him around him, and the philosophy that they're espousing about wanting to run the football, how many years off those mid-30s. I hope you're right. I think they're a long way off before Blake were to reach that kind of thing. Like I said, give me a couple of years of 27 and 12,
yeah,
and I'll be ecstatic.
Well, I don't expect it in 2015. That's for sure. I don't expect those kind of numbers this year. Right, give me mid-20s, I'd be fine.
Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. Speaking of the top 10 quarterbacks, NFL.com put out a ranking of the current top 10 guys, at least one of them. Absolutely ludicrous. I thought that he was ranked in the top 10, but we can discuss that. Coming up, if you'd like to get on board, 641-1010, both on the call-in line and the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. And, of course, you can tweet the show at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. It's not the long-haired kid singing it, though.
Take a look at my life. I'm alive.
It was good, though, last night. I'm just catching up to the fact that American Idol's over. Done with.
I know.
My wife loves The Voice. Pretty good show. I can stand it. Put it that way. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank Jaguars Today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. We hope one of your top sources for Jaguars news, rumor, and speculation and general chit-chat and all that good stuff. Like I said, we're not news breakers necessarily, but we certainly keep it on topic as much as we possibly can. Today's question of the day is an interesting one because we have everyone's got their own audience. Everyone's got their own slice. Some people listen to 1010XL all day. Others have their favorite shows, and they have different outlets that they get info from. So we asked you, other than Jaguars Today, what is your most indispensable source of Jaguar information out there? And we'll share some of the feedback. A very spirited amount of replies. Is that correct? Is that a right way of saying it? Put it this way. There are a lot of people weighing in.
A lot,
on this question today. Duval Doom, not happy with Amanda for her J.J. Watt talk. he's upset because a lot of his sacks, he said, resulted from guys like Blake Bortles is falling down. And also he says he's a terrible person and ridiculously overrated as well. I will say this. I don't know if he's a great person or not, but the one encounter I had with the guy, and you can go to my old Facebook page, go to the Mike Dempsey Show Facebook page, which still exists, and I still get a new like on that page like once every 3 months, which is kind of weird. But nevertheless, Tony, if you go into one of the photo galleries on there, the offseason that Shad bought the team from Wayne Weaver, Donna Murphy and I went to the Super Bowl. I'm not sure where it was that year. It might have been Indianapolis. In fact, I think it was. But regardless, J.J. Watt was there coming off his playoff appearance where he had a pretty nice playoff game for himself, but was a rookie and was the last time you get anywhere near that guy on Radio Row. As you know, the bigger you get, the more of an entourage to keep the riffraff at bay. But we were going around with the Shad Khan mustaches and you know, putting them all over the place, including if you see the picture of Donna and I on that page with the Lombardi Trophy, that's the one that the Colts won back in, what was that, 2006 against the Bears? Does that sound right? Whatever the year they played the Bears in Miami.
About right.
They won the Lombardi Trophy. We stuck Shad Khan stash on the Indianapolis Colts Lombardi Trophy. And but J.J. Watt, your division rival, was nice enough to wear the Shad Khan stash. And you could see a photo of that. That I don't know, maybe you could use it in a way to have it come back to haunt him. But I thought he was a good sport about the whole thing. So there you have it. Weigh in on the question of the day on Twitter, at MD underscore 1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. We'll get to the phone lines here in a second as well, 641-1010, which doubles as the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Question from a texter, is the OTA / mini camp open to the public next week? That one from Billy. We don't believe it will be open to the public next week, right? Possibly the week after that. Is that what we're hearing?
Yeah, that's what I was told. So
official schedule will come out either later today or tomorrow.
Yeah, so we'll know for sure here in the next 24 hours.
Yeah,
hopefully
by tomorrow's show, right?
Yeah.
Next
week I wouldn't plan on being able to come out here.
Yes, and I'm not going to plan on coming out on Tuesday. I'm taking Tuesday off.
I know you're not.
So taking Tuesday off, blowing off my many responsibilities here.
I'll go watch practice by myself that I can't talk about.
True. You're not really able to say much about what's going on and those closed to the public sessions anyway. But it'll be interesting to see those guys, you know, in full. You want to see the full team out there and just, you know,
sure.
see Blake. Does he look in command? How much more comfortable does he look this year?
Honestly, more than any, I want to see those young receivers and how they look coming back for year two. But more than that, right now, because of how good he looked at a rookie mini camp and how much I think they're going to be relying on him in this offense. Does T.J. Yeldon still stand out as much as he did 2 weeks ago?
Right.
With everybody out there. Now, they're not going to be hitting or doing any of that stuff, but does it look the same as it did? And that'll give you kind of a better idea of just how talented that guy is.
All right, let's go to the phones and get Eric up next here this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good, good. Hey, I do listen to or look at Bleacher Report, so that's one of the other sources I go to for my news report.
Right.
And then a question on Dante Fowler. Is he going to have surgery, or is he going to let it heal on its own? And if he has the surgery, will he come back stronger? And the third thing is I think Ryan Davis can handle the job for us. I think everyone's going to be very surprised with him this year. So that's my two cents.
All right. I appreciate the call. Certainly he's having surgery. I don't know. Way out of my realm of expertise, if I have one, to say that he would come back stronger.
They say that about ACLs now. They say that the tendon in your knee is actually stronger after they do this kind of surgery now with however it's changed, right? Now, who knows what that means?
Sure.
You don't know what that means. He's got an ACL tear. It's not good to have an ACL tear, but the recovery for it is better than it's ever been.
Right. I mean, you see guys like Adrian Peterson come back and he's an exception in terms of the speed in which he returned, but had no ill effects, seemingly, of the ACL tear. And then a guy I've brought up in comparison to Cindric Marks a few times is Geno Atkins, the former Georgia defensive lineman with the Cincinnati Bengals, young when it happened, younger than Cindric when it happened, and was, you know, on the verge of superstardom,
yeah.
I thought. Really a penetrating three technique, played the same exact a role on the defensive line for Cincinnati that Cindric Marks played here in Jacksonville. And he started to get better last season. Now he's a couple of years removed from it, Tony, but it's been a slow climb. He has not been the same explosive player. That doesn't mean that matters a whit to what Cindric Marks' recovery is going to be. There's really no telling. You know, as good as medicine is, some guys have a rougher go of it rehabbing than others. And let's hope, you know, all signs indicate Cindric Marks is going to be fine, you know, is moving along well. And I'm sure Dante Fowler is going to get the best care. But, you know, as far as Ryan Davis goes, he's in the conversation. I saw First Coast News, I forget who the author was, but did a projection, early projection on the 53-man roster that had Ryan Davis listed as the starter at that spot. He could be. And they had Andre Branch making the team, but not Chris Clements. And I think that's, I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility, but if I'm betting right now, I think Chris Clements is back on this football
Me
team
too.
For one more go round, to bring those 8 sacks back and, give them one more option. I don't think they're that deep that they want to jettison him unless his play falls off over the course of, the summer. And, I guess we'll watch and keep an eye out on that. NFL.com did a ranking of the top 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League. And, look, when you say NFL.com did, it's not like they poll everyone at NFL.com, right? So it's, you get
one guy's opinion.
Right. So it's a guy's opinion who works for NFL.com. Yeah. So that's, but it gets put out under the banner.
Elliot Harrison.
Elliot, by the way, Elliot, does work with me on SiriusXM. Dude knows his football. I mean, he truly, really knows his football. He's a weirdo in this sense that he takes, he's got access to all the archives with NFL.com, and he does work on NFL Network. And he will go back and watch, and he'll pick a season. He'll pick 1983, whatever. And he'll watch every week. He'll watch another week of that season. He'll watch a whole week's worth of games. And it's just nuts. He just likes to do that to kind of refresh his knowledge of history. So he's a very serious guy when it comes to what he puts into this. But I don't think any surprise at the top. It would have been a surprise to me if anyone other than Aaron Rodgers was selected as the best quarterback
sure.
in the league right now. They had Brady number 2. Had a good, really good second half of the year last year.
Won the Super Bowl. Yeah.
So it's hard to argue too much one way or the other. He's got Roethlisberger at number 3, which I think is a little outside the box thinking, but Roethlisberger had a hell of a year.
He did.
Last year. I mean, a tremendous year. Last year, and they're asking him to carry more of that offensive burden these days. They become more and more of a passing team, even with Le'Veon Bell back there. Le'Veon Bell does a lot of his damage in the passing game. So Roethlisberger is going to be in everybody's top 5 or 6, you would think.
32 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, almost 5,000 yards.
That's pretty damn good.
It's really
good. I mean, if you're asking at this moment, is he a top 3 quarterback? He may well be, okay? Drew Brees at number 4 didn't have quite the numbers that he had in past years. It wasn't quite as efficient getting up there in years, but still one of the most prolific quarterbacks going in the National Football League. Got him at number 4. Romo at 5. That surprised me. I mean, the numbers are really good for Romo, but as much as we talk about quarterbacks being maybe given too much credit and too much blame for winning, Romo hasn't done a ton of that, right? And for all the talent that they've had offensively around him in Dallas,
sure.
Still has won very few playoff games in his career. I'm not a Romo basher by any means. I don't think Romo, for instance, is a better quarterback right now than Andrew Luck or Russell Wilson.
I think he's on par with those guys. I do think he's on par with those guys and hasn't been included in the conversation this high to this point because Dallas hasn't been as successful.
Probably, but if you were to ask out of all these guys I've mentioned, which one is most likely to go out and screw up and lose you the game? Wouldn't that answer have to be Tony Romo,
oh, it's
right?
Tony Romo. Yeah.
Now, he probably does a lot of things to win you games as well, and I'm sure he does. Andrew Luck coming in at number 6, Russell Wilson at 7, Peyton Manning at 8, and I think that's about right. I mean, if you're talking about an up-to-the-moment kind of thing. Peyton Manning's numbers overall were big last year, but the last 6 weeks or so of the season, whether it was injury or offensive philosophy shifting, C.J. Anderson was hot. They became more of a ground-based attack. Whatever the question is, I mean, right now, would you take Peyton Manning? How many guys ahead of him would you take Peyton Manning over?
Oh, on that list? I'm telling you, for this year, I'd still have Peyton Manning at 3.
At 3?
That's me. I'd still have him at 3. I would still go Rodgers, Brady, then I would take Manning.
Do you have any concern that Peyton Manning's going to be able to hold up for a full season? I mean, I think
some level of concern, sure. Do I have some level? There were only 2 guys that played in the Super Bowl last year, right? And I get that Andrew Luck got to the AFC Championship game, but he wasn't as good a quarterback as Peyton Manning was last year. And he struggled in the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season because of that, the injuries to his legs that he thinks he's fine from now. I think they will be more dependent on the running game early on in the year than they were early on in the year last year. We're still talking about, he threw 39 touchdowns and close to 4,800 yards last year.
And the way I look at it is,
and that's with a lost month because his legs were gone.
Granted, but here's how I'll look at it, that Peyton Manning, much like when you're debating in the mid-2000s between he and Tom Brady, look what he's got to throw to compared to Andrew Luck, right? I mean, look, as good as Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener are, Julius Thomas has been better. And maybe that's a Manning influence, maybe it's not, but Julius Thomas has been a better tight end. Demaryius Thomas is better than T.Y. Hilton, for sure. And really, when you get beyond that, Emmanuel Sanders is light years better than anybody else that they had at wide receiver last year.
Sure.
On that football team in Indy. So I just think the pieces Peyton Manning has to work with, and honestly, the running backs as well. C.J. Anderson in the second half of the season was better than Ahmad Bradshaw was, I thought, in the first half of the season with Indy, and he was the best guy, again, that Andrew Luck was working with. Not a ton of talent coming out of the backfield to help him. I mean, Dan Heron is just a guy, I think, in the National Football League, and had his moments down the stretch last year, but I think that's more from the attention that Andrew Luck draws.
No, I get why Peyton Manning is at number 8 on a list like this, because there are some concerns about his health going into this year. He's going to be 40 years old playing football this season. I get all that. He'd still be at number 3 for me.
All right. Philip Rivers in at number 9, and then Alex Smith at number 10. And this is just so dumb. I mean, what do you value the most? Not taking risks?
That's
not
right.
Throwing interceptions? Because
Dwayne Bowe was holding him back.
Don't you have to throw at least one touchdown to your wide receivers to be a top 10 quarterback in the entire league? That seems ludicrous to me that Alex Smith is considered a top 10 quarterback. I'd take Joe Flacco over Alex Smith all day long. I mean,
Joe Flacco, Cam Newton,
a bunch of them,
Matt
probably.
Ryan,
but sir, I mean,
Matthew
Flacco's the
Stafford.
First one that jumps to mind. Stafford, you can look.
I'd take Stafford over.
I probably would too, but I'm just saying you can find flaws in all these guys' games, okay?
Sure,
but you can find a bunch of flaws in Alex Smith's game as well.
Yeah, he didn't throw a touchdown to a wide receiver.
That would be number one flaw, I think, that you would find for a starting quarterback to go the entire season and manage to not do that. So you can check that out over at NFL.com if you're so inclined.
Alex Smith.
When we return, we'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight. Who do you love getting your Jaguar news from? We'll share your thoughts that you've shared with us, with the listening audience. Coming up, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. We're live at Everbank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Down the stretch we come, Everbank Field, our locale. Jaguars Today continues here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Fat Tuesday tonight.
Yeah.
9 to 10 o'clock.
9 to 10 with the ladies going 7 to 9 on Helmets and Heels live from Dave and Buster's. But I'll be on 9 to 10 and I'm going to get into a little bit of what's going on with the World Cup news with Qatar and the arrest of some journalists trying to go in and see exactly what the working conditions of some of the immigrants in-house are as they're trying to build those new stadiums. I'm going to explain to you tonight just how big of a hypocrite I am. That'll be coming up tonight at 9 o'clock on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I always enjoy a little self-loathing
right,
as far as that goes. Did I read something, not to get too far afield here, but that Sepp Blatter is afraid to come to the United States because he thinks he's going to be arrested?
Yep. He claims that's not true.
Yeah? When's the last time he came to the States?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right, I'm just curious
FIFA's
about that.
So dirty.
Beef? Corrupt.
No, FIFA.
Oh, FIFA. I thought you said beef is so dirty.
No, beef has nothing to do with it.
How did that have to do with anything?
No, Sepp Blatter, who is the president of FIFA, is just awful. It's awful, the things that go on in that organization.
All right, Tony Smith, today we asked you on the Fan Feedback Spotlight, in the Fan Feedback Spotlight, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, other than the esteemed Jaguars Today program.
That's right. We're number one.
Going strong in our second year of coverage. What is your most indispensable source of Jaguar information? Got a lot of replies.
We did.
A lot of love for certain outlets, so do tell.
Here's what we got from Dusty. The Ozone. John Osher does a great job. Also, Jaguars.com's content is very good. From Demetrius, Jaguars.com is my main source. Once it goes through the site, it's official. Can't just trust any source. From Hardy Bros, Jaguars.com message boards has everything thanks to all the diehard fans. From Black Dog Express, my go-to source for Jags news is Jaguars Today, Tomorrow, Forever, and Beyond, and Sometimes. From Bobby, we got anybody but Alfie Crow. Guy blocked me shortly after I got on Twitter. Hashtag, what did I do to you, Alfie? from Brian. Daily news I get from Alfie. Draft news I get from Uncle Chaps, from Eric. Jaguars.com and Twitter overall, my next go-tos. Can't find it there. You don't need it. From Cristiano, Big Cat Country, John Osier and Jaguars.com. From Lauren. Hi, Lauren. She said...
LB?
Yeah. From she said, well, Tad Dickman, of course, who works with the PR staff here with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Tad Dickman either retweeted or favorited that one.
I'm sure he did. From Greatness Deferred at Irish Jaguar, Big Cat Country or John Osher, and Jaguars Twitter in general, too. And from Isaiah, NFL Mobile, hashtag no limits.
We've got a bunch of them on the Facebook side of things, too. Eric Diaz with Big Cat Country. John Duraskovich says, Big Cat Country crushing Jaguars.com. Uh-oh. PCAV just looked up Patrick Kavanaugh, who is the, I believe, the star of Jaguars.com, is how he puts it. Jamie Clark loves some Big Cat Country. Maurice Freeman says, I'd say O'Halloran or Carline with Alfie Crowe being a close third since he whines too much. LOL. Richard Grant, the Jags official website is the best in the league. And then Big Cat Country, PCAV, giving it a hearty thumbs up. Hashtag Canadian Jags fan, eh? Joe Juden said Johnny O and the rest of Jaguars.com. Steve Muncy going with Jaguars.com and Jacksonville.com. Dedrick Baker said Bleacher Report or the Jaguars app. A lot of people like, apparently, I don't do the Bleacher Report thing.
Slideshows.
Too much.
Do you like slideshows? Bleacher Report's your thing.
I'm just not a fan of the slideshows. So they crash my iPad, right? And when I'm at home, I'm always surfing the net on the iPad. And they're just a pain. They're just all about the page views. And the content is minimal sometimes. But if it works for you, it works for you. Alan Munger goes with NFL.com or Jacksonville.com. Tim Jarrell just said Twitter. Johnny Crump said, go with the man with the same name, Mr. Johnny O, hashtag Jaguars Today. Chris went with 1010XL. Hey, finally, a shout-out
for
1010XL. John Paulin followed that up with 1010XL. Love you. Michael Wren, Duval Doom, of course, was his answer. Hashtag Hash Brown Selfie and hashtag Shut Up Randy. He went double-dipping on that one. Let's see. Dustin Smith said, gotta be the Onion. Some of the stuff the Jaguars do can't be believable. So there's that.
That's fantastic.
Another Big Cat Country. Douglas Pelsey said, in my gut, whenever something bad happens, I sense a disturbance in the force. Jason went with the Bleacher Report as well. O'Halloran and Hayes getting some more love. Alfie and the Jags fan Facebook page, from Tony Bellucci. So, bunch of them out there. The reason we brought it up is because we want you to check out Amanda Borges's work at Amanda1010XL on Twitter. She's a new Jaguar reporter who will be, not that, look, I consider pretty much everybody who works for the station a Jaguar reporter in some capacity or not. If you go to practices, if you go to OTAs, if you go to the locker room, if you interview players, if you talk to coaches and GMs, whatever. Doesn't mean that you're the beat person. That's what Amanda's beat is, though, for
sure.
Us. Much like Jessica Blaylock's was. So, but I, you know, we consider ourselves Jaguar reporters to some degree. Like I said, and I've said many times, not here to break news, here to discuss news more than anything. Occasionally, you get the scoop on a story, but more about just informing you or putting a little our own personal spin on what the news of the day
absolutely
happens to be. OTAs, you know, honestly, I'd be quite content if OTAs don't provide us with any news next week, right?
It'd be nice.
Are we kind of a no news is good news type situation right now on the heels of Dante Fowler Jr.?
I'd say so until August.
Right. Well, we want Blake to come in. We don't want Blake to reprise his debut in rookie minicamp last year.
No, we certainly don't want that.
Rather have some spirals mixed in to the batch.
Yeah, it didn't look great last year in a rookie minicamp, and I still remember watching Stephen Morris throw the ball to Allen Hurns and ignoring it during rookie minicamp last year, just being like, Allen Hurns.
Right. Undrafted free agent.
Some undrafted
They played
guy.
Together in college.
Right,
come on.
Like he's
They're
making
out
this
for
team.
Each other.
Come on.
Yeah, he's the leading receiver for the football team. So, you know what? Let's hope somebody in that category, Tony, we don't need somebody totally off the radar unless they're going to come in and play like a Pro Bowler, leading this team in any category at this point, right? I mean, sure. You got to feel like you've got enough across the board that the guys that you're counting on are going to come through, and you're not just there. You don't have too many more placeholders in the starting lineup anymore.
Absolutely
just
not.
Just waiting for that next big thing.
Right.
So, by the way, the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. With gas prices on the rise, maybe time to consider a diesel. Volkswagen, the number one selling diesel car brand in America. And of course, Tom Bush Volkswagen, one of the entities that comprise the family of dealerships, along with Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, and Tom Bush Mini. Well, thanks to all of you out there for playing along once again in Radio Land today. We've got XL Primetime coming up. Thanks to Amanda Borges for spending some time with us this morning. Again, get to know her via Twitter, at Amanda1010XL. Tonight, this afternoon, she'll be on the Frank Francis Show, as she is every afternoon here on 1010XL. And then tonight, with the ladies of Helmets and Heels, they'll be at Dave & Buster's on Salisbury Road with my top four hosts. My top four favorite hosts of Helmets and Heels will all be in attendance with that one, along with Jaguar rookie AJ Cann.
Yeah.
So, any final thought for you, or are we plumb out of time?
I think we about covered it.
We've about covered it. Tony's going to go watch Mad Max Fury Road, I'm sure, at some point in the very near future.
I could.
I just don't know when I'll go see that in a theater, because you told me it's not the movie to take a 10-year-old to, right?
No.
So
it's a rated R action.
It does seem like it needs to be taken in on the big screen,
yes,
as opposed to the little screen,
yes,
that I favor so often. So I guess I'll get around to it sooner or later. So for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, and Amanda Borges, I'm Mike Dempsey, wrapping things up.